tonight, if you'll open your Bibles with me to Psalm 23. Now, a lot of folks have speculated about when David wrote this psalm, when it was written. You'd be surprised at how much ink has been wasted trying to figure out when David wrote this psalm. Some say he wrote it when he was but a young shepherd, sitting on the hillside watching his father's sheep. That may be so. David played an instrument, probably something like a guitar, and he sang. But it may have been written then because he's certainly the shepherd of the young, isn't he? And then some others say he wrote it when he was in the caves and the forest fleeing from King Saul, when Saul had exiled David from the kingdom and he was alone, wondering about the purpose and will of God for him. He may have written it then because our Lord certainly is the shepherd of his people, even in their deepest trouble and their greatest trials. Some say he wrote it after all the battles were over, after he was peacefully settled on Israel's throne, reigning in peace and joy and power. The trumpets of war had given way to the quiet waters of peace. That may be so, because he's certainly my shepherd in days of quietness as well as in days of conflict. Then some say, and I suppose they gather this from verse 4, talking about the valley of the shadow of death. Some say he wrote it in the sunset years, when he contemplated the valley of death and when he thought much on the house of the Lord. Well, that may be true, because the Lord is my shepherd now, as well as in days of youth. But no one really knows. There's no date on this psalm. This psalm was written, I'm glad of that, and it really doesn't matter when, because this psalm is the believer's comfort. This psalm is the believer's assurance at all times and in all places. The Lord is indeed my shepherd from the cradle to the grave. He's my shepherd. Well, actually, he's always been my shepherd. That's right, he's always been my shepherd. He was my shepherd designate before the world began. Was he not? He was my shepherd designate, my surety, my keeper before the world began. Yours too, who are in him. For God calls him in Hebrews 13, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. You see, election, sovereign election, and glorious predestination, though distasteful to the natural man, is a great source of joy and comfort to the believer. God's love is everlasting. It has to be God's love. Isn't that right? It has to be everlasting. If he loves me now, If it's the love of God, then he has to have always loved me. Is that not true? And if it is the love of a changeless God, then he must always love me. That's just true. God's grace is consistent with God's character. Everything that the God of the Bible does is consistent with his unchangeableness, his immutability. That's right. And it's infinite. It knows no degree. He's always been my shepherd. Why should that be offensive? He's always been my shepherd. And then he was my shepherd before I knew him to be my shepherd. He was my shepherd before I could say the Lord is my shepherd, before I even knew the Lord was my shepherd. Paul said that, God who separated me from my mother's womb, he called me by his grace. He was Paul's shepherd before Paul ever knew he was his shepherd. He didn't learn it till he was 40 years old. He said, way back yonder, he said, other sheep I have, them I must bring. Other sheep I what? I have. So he's my shepherd designate from before the foundation of the world, and he's my shepherd during his earthly pilgrimage. In his obedience and in his death, he was my shepherd then because he said he was going to be my shepherd. I have other sheep. I must bring them. And then he is and always will be my shepherd because he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He'll always be my shepherd. Well, you know, I was talking to my son Paul on the phone this morning, and he said, what are you preaching on this morning? I said, the 23rd Psalm. He said, you are? I said, yeah. He said, that'll be a blessing. I hope it is. I fear that sometimes our familiarity with certain scriptures. How many times have you read this? How many times have you gone to a funeral and they have these little keepsakes, you know, with the deceased name and on the back, the Lord is my shepherd. We've read it 1,000 times, some of us. But I think sometimes we allow this familiarity with certain scriptures to cause us to overlook them, maybe treat them a little carelessly, and go looking for something new and something different. I'll tell you this, if I could tell anybody anything as a result of having been a preacher for a long time, I would encourage them to stay with the simplicity of Christ. If I could encourage any preacher, don't grow out of the gospel. Don't get educated out of the ministry. Don't get over here dabbling with and fooling with things you don't know anything about and the people know less. Stay with the simplicity of Christ. Come back to the 23rd Psalm. Come back to the 23rd Psalm. You see, Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. All I need. He alone is all my plea. He's all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and power. Everything I need. He alone is my plea. He's all I need. And so it says here, the Lord is my shepherd. My friends, this is all of my hope. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all my testimony. That's all my hope. That's all my assurance. That's my creed. That's my confidence. The Lord, not a God, not some God, not somebody up there, but the Lord. Jehovah. Isn't that what that word is? Jehovah. Just God and Savior. God my Savior. He is my shepherd, the true and living God. the revelation of God, the manifestation of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jehovah, is my shepherd. That's settled. He is my shepherd. If he's shepherd to no one else, he's my shepherd. My shepherd. I feel like the Apostle Peter who said, to whom shall I go? I got nowhere else to go. He has the words of life. He's my he is, that's settled, the Lord of glory, the one true and living God. God revealed in his word. God revealed in the person of his son. I'm not going to try to change the character of God. I'm glad God's God, just like he's revealed. Sovereign, majestic, omnipotent, unchangeable. God is God. He's my shepherd. That's it. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's not my co-pilot. He's not my partner. I hear people say, well, the Lord's my partner in this business. He's not my partner. And he's not my inspiration either. He's my shepherd. You know what a shepherd is? A shepherd owns the sheep. He owns the sheep. If they eat in this pasture, it's because the shepherd says they eat in that pasture. If they spend the night in this fold, it's because the shepherd took them to that fold, not because they thought it was best and he went along with them. He took them to the fold. He's my shepherd. He owns me. He's not my co-pilot. He's not my partner. He's not my inspiration. He's my shepherd. I'm a dumb, dependent, wandering sheep, and he's my shepherd. That's what David, the Lord's my shepherd. Absolute control. Absolute sovereignty. He's my shepherd. He makes the decisions. He's my great shepherd, my chief shepherd, my good shepherd. If he wants to feed me or try me, he's still my shepherd. If he wants to shear me or slay me, he's my shepherd. That's right, he's my shepherd. People kind of get the idea. They get a little bit when they open the Bible. I don't know why, but they get silly. People open the Bible and they just change their whole voice, expression, countenance, and everything else. They get real religious. The Lord's my shepherd. He's my shepherd, my king. He wants to slay me or shear me. If he wants to hold me close or let me wander, he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. The shepherd has an affectionate relationship with the sheep, but he has a control over them too. He has the right. Sure, the shepherd loves the sheep. The shepherd would die for the sheep, but the shepherd and the sheep never change places. If he wants to honor me or embarrass me, he's my shepherd. You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is important. It gets it out of the sentimental, emotional rut to be read at funerals. The Lord's my shepherd. And I'm the sheep of his pasture. He hath made us and not we ourselves. He's my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, it's just fact. I shall not want. That's why I'll never want. Now, there's going to be, in his good providence, days of trouble. There's going to be days of trial. There's going to be days that are very difficult. But what he's saying here, the Lord being my shepherd, I shall not want for anything good for me. Anything eternally good and needful, I shall not want. See, Belshazzar the king trembled. His knees smote together as he saw the fingers of a man's hand writing on the wall. And he had every reason to tremble, for that hand wrote, "Thou art weighed and found wanting, lacking." Well, that's what I'm talking about, because he's my shepherd. I'll never want in that respect. He's made unto me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's made unto me all I need. I'll never come up short. See what I'm saying, Richard? I never want, never come up short. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's bad. See, that's a terrible charge. Come short. You come short. But in Christ, I'm never wanting. Never wanting. Because Abraham believed this, that what God promised, he performed. Now, what has he promised? That's what it is, Cecil. He hadn't promised me 3 automobiles and 6 bedrooms and 4 baths. He hasn't promised me a life without pain and tears and suffering. He hadn't promised any of those things. He hadn't promised me any of those. He hadn't promised me earthly material prosperity and popularity and applause. And he hadn't promised me that. In fact, that's not good for me. It's good for me when I'm afflicted, David said, so I can learn something. We don't learn things on the bed of ease. We learn things in trouble. That's when we really learn things. And the Lord my shepherd, I shall not want. For anything eternally good or needful, I shall not want or lack. For any righteousness or sanctification, I shall not want or lack for anything when I stand before his throne. For I am complete in him. See that? He's not going to let the sheep want. And then he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now here you have two things, lying down and walking. He makes me lie down in those soft, green pastures. But he leads me as I walk by still waters. You see, and here's what this is saying. Our lives are made up always of two parts. Thoughts and deeds. Now, I looked at this a little while, and this is true. Everything will come under one of these two heads. My thoughts or deeds. My life is made up of thoughts or deeds. Thoughts and deeds. Meditation and activity. I'm either still or moving, thinking or doing. Everything will come under. Is that not true? I think that's true. Thoughts and activity. Meditation and activity. Well, in both of these, he's my shepherd. And in thoughts and meditations, he makes me, he enables me to lie down, to rest, to be at peace in my thoughts. Whatever my thoughts are concerned with, because of my relationship with him, my thoughts can be at peace. I have peace with God. See that? I have rest. He said, my peace I give unto you. I don't need to stand always trembling before God and before my enemies and before my trials and before these things. I don't need to stand trembling. I don't need to be armed to do battle. The battle's over. Lie down. Now, you've got some great decision to make regarding your children, or your home, or your job, or your business. Those are thoughts. You've got to think about this. You've got to make some decision. You've got to come to some conclusions. It's a very important, but you can be at peace and rest in making that decision if he's your shepherd. See what I'm saying? If he's your shepherd, if he's over this whole thing and all things involving us come from him, then I don't need to be all uptight about it, do I? Just be at peace. Lie down. Now, what are the green pastures? It's his word. Lie down in His Word. Lie down in His promises. Meditate upon His promises. Think upon the rich, precious promises of the Word. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Take no thought for what you're going to eat, drink, and wear. Your Father knows you have need of these things. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. See what I'm talking about? Lie down. Sure, you've got some decisions to make. Sure. Like I said to you last Sunday night, I get all these years I've been conducting services and I've got contacts all over the place and I get weary just like you do, but it's a peaceful weariness. Does that make sense? It's a peaceful weariness, and there's decisions to be made involving in me and preachers and people and all these things, but He maketh me to lie down. I don't know about all this talk. Well, all this yelling and screaming and clapping and shouting and carrying on about onward Christian soldiers marching us to war. I ain't in no war. The war is over. The battle's done. And this whole sheep is lying down in green pastures. And I'm just not going to put on the gloves. I'm just not going to arm myself to the teeth. I'm not going out to do battle with Satan or anybody. I'm going to lie down in these green pastures. How about you? Because the Lord's my shepherd. I'm at peace. Sure, you understand what I'm saying? There are things to do, and there are decisions to make, and some of you involved in a lot of activities, and that's fine. But when you're making these decisions, and when you're faced with these conflicts and all these things, remember who your shepherd is, and it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Whatever the decision may be, whatever the future holds, He holds the future. I don't want to overly carry this thing on, but I just know that's what David's saying here. The Lord's my shepherd now. I'm not going to want for anything good or necessary or needful, and He's going to let me lie down in green pastures. Now then, He leads me, here's the activity, He leads me by still waters. We not only think, but we act. We're not only at rest, but we're walking. And I'll tell you, this life, there's some trials, there's a whole lot of trials. We know something about this. Some of you are going through them right now. Trials are spoken of as deep water, troubled waters, waves of the sea. And we're acquainted with these deep waters and troubled waters and waves of the sea. But if the Lord's our shepherd, He'll make those waves to lie down. The disciples were in that boat, and the Lord stood on the bow of the boat, and He said, "Peace, be still." And the waves were still. And one of them said, "What manner of man is this, that even the waves obey His word?" And this is what He's talking about. He leads me beside the waters. You know, water is a fearful thing. Water and fire. You fellas in the Navy, were you ever in a typhoon or storm? I was at Okinawa in that awful typhoon in August of 1945 when you weren't allowed on top side of the ship, when the waves literally came up over the entire ship. That's how high they were, over the entire ship. And we're tossed about like a cork, like when you go fishing, throw a cork out there and see that thing hopping up and down. That ship was doing that, creaking and groaning and twisting, like one of those Kaiser's coffins they talked about, you know. But I tell you, in these trials, some of us go through these trials. I don't know what I told you about. I saw something a couple of Sundays ago that just literally wrenched my heart, hurt like I was having a heart attack. I was down in Louisiana preaching. I may have told you about this. I told someone about it. I'm getting old and forgetful. I need to write things down. But anyway, There was a little boy. I was in the service there at Ball, Louisiana. There was a little boy there, about 11. And he had on a jacket. He had on a black New Orleans Saints jacket. And I was sitting on the front row reading my notes, and he came walking across the church there. And I reached out and took him by the arm, and I said, "I like your jacket." He never cracked a smile. He said, "Thank you." I said, "Your team's playing tonight. I hope they win." Not a smile. "I do too." I thought, that's strange. I've always related to children, you know, but he didn't give me the time of day. And then I got up to preach. He sat on the front row right here on my left. And he looked so distressed. He looked so troubled. He looked so sad. And I looked at him when I preached, you know, and I couldn't get to him. After the service, I stand back by the door, and he came by. I was shaking hands to people, and I put my arm around him. And I said, "I hope we do well tonight." "I do too." He went on out. Well, I talked to the people a while, and then I went outside the church. There's a cemetery right next door where all their folks are buried. And I saw that little boy standing over there by a new grave with fresh dirt on it and flowers. And then I saw a blonde-headed lady walk toward him and put her arms around him. And they both stood there and cried. And I said to the man standing next to me, I said, what's the story? He said, "That's his dad." He said his dad was killed 3 months ago in an automobile wreck. And we buried him right there. And he's standing by his daddy's grave. That's deep water. That's deep water. And I'm not saying that you won't experience. And you know, talk about deep water. I went home from church. From that scene, I went home from church. And that afternoon, they told us his grandmother got killed that day at noon going home from church. He lived with his grandmother while his mother worked. That's just a little too much for an 11-year-old boy, isn't it? And this life, we're not immune from these heartaches, but I tell you this, he leads me beside still waters. Waters of quietness. He'll calm them down in his own time. Huh? That's what I'm saying. He'll make them to lie down. You can't. That's what that says. He's my shepherd. And he's going to make those waters lie down. Look at this. Verse 3. He restores my soul. He restoreth my soul. Brings it back. Brings it back. He restored me to life. In Adam I died. He restored me to purity. In sin my mother conceived me. He restored me to God. For I was lost and separated from him. Your sin separated you from God. He restored me to the throne. We're kings and priests under our God. Adam reigned. He was a king. And you know something? He restores me daily. You know, I got to thinking about this. And people are cruel. People are cruel. They start when they're little. I asked some time ago, I was in a meeting somewhere, and I asked about a certain woman who was visiting in the service from the community. I said, "Who's that?" And I know people don't mean to be this way, but maybe they do. The reply was, "Oh, she's the girl that had to illegitimate child." I said, "When?" Said, 25 years ago. And that's the way she's known and remembered? Thank God our God's not that way. But now you think, do we not do these very same things now? To say, "Who's that gentleman? Here's a man 60 years, 75 years. So I say 60 and being over 75, 80 years old. And somebody said, well, he's never. I grew up with him. Yeah, but he's grown now. I mean, this is a new day. Has he got to be known for what he was when he's a kid? Thank God he restores my soul daily. I get a new start every day. A new, brand new start. He said, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Do what to him? Restore him. Come on now. I looked for a scripture and I couldn't find it, but the Bible teaches that God does not remember our sins. I know where that one is, Hebrews 10. But there's another scripture where it says God does not hold anything against us over a period of time. I can't think if there's a scripture that teaches that it's new. It's new. It's not, he does not hold grudges. No, he does not. He does not. It's over. It's over. He restoreth my soul. Notice that he's restoring. He's always restoring my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What's this paths of righteousness? Well, there is a path. There is a walk of righteousness, truth, and holiness. And no man, no son of Adam, ever walked it before God. No son of Adam ever walked it. Our path has always been the path of error and sin. But he walked the path. He walked the path of righteousness. And for his name's sake, he's led me there. And in him, I'm perfectly righteous. That's where I walk. Because he leads me there, you see. I don't know where the path is. I've never walked that path. I don't have the ability to walk that path. But for his name's sake, as my shepherd, I'm his sheep. He can take me there in the favor of his God and lead me to walk that path of righteousness with him. With him. You know, the religion of today says, there's the path, walk it. There's the path. God has a holiness, God has a salvation, God's got a path. There it is. Will to walk it. I couldn't walk it if I will to walk it. But he can lead me there. He can lead me there. All right, let's go on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I know nearly everyone regards this as the time of physical death. But I don't believe that's what David's talking about here. I don't believe he's talking about the day he's going to die. The Lord will be my shepherd then. But he says, yea, though I walk now. I am walking. Isn't that what he's saying, John? Yea, I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Right now. I don't find that the death of the believer to be such an unpleasant experience anyway. It's coronation day. When I lie down to die, I'm not going to walk through a valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to be born by the angels into glory. That's not going to be any walk through any valley. But I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now. This is indeed the valley of death. It's been that ever since Adam fell. He brought death to everything. The flowers, the trees, the people. Another thing, David says, I'm walking through it. It's not my home. I'm not going to stay here. I'm walking through this valley. And watch this. This is important. It's the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. Let's see if I can do anything with that. I am walking through a valley of death, but it's the shadow of death. It looks terrible, seems terrible. But you know something? the substance of death and the sting of death for me has been removed by my Lord. It's just the shadow. That's all that's left. It's all that's left. I'll fear no evil. The shadow of a dog can't bite you. The shadow of a knife can't cut you. The shadow of a gun can't kill you. That's right. And the shadow of death can't touch me. My Lord's removed the substance and the sting. Isn't that right? But he hadn't removed the shadows and these things, the appearance of these things. I'll fear no evil. Watch this. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Now watch this. He didn't say, watch this, I'll fear no evil. He didn't say there'll be no evil. He said, I won't fear it. I won't fear it because he's with me. Now watch this. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now having never been a shepherd, having never lived in sheep country, and really knowing nothing about sheep, then I don't know much about a shepherd's rod or staff. I do know what it looks like. I've seen pictures of a shepherd's staff. Rod and staff's the same thing. He doesn't care staff in one hand or rod in the other. It's the same thing, shepherd's rod or shepherd's staff. It's a long staff and got a crook on the end. And somebody told me that that rod or that staff was used for three things primarily. Maybe used for a lot of things, but primarily. It's used to number the sheep when they were in the fold. He calls his own sheep by name. They pass under the rod. They're kept one at a time. One at a time, kept back, and one passes under the rod. That's mine. And then this one passes under the rod. That's mine. And this one passes under the rod. He's passing under the rod. He uses that shepherd's rod to number the sheep. And they each sheep was taken notice of by the shepherd. He's mine. And his rod, his staff, has singled out this one and that one. That one's mine. Isn't that something? What a great shepherd. What a kind shepherd. The chief shepherd, the good shepherd, comes by and touches me with the rod. I pass under it. He's mine. He made me his. Mine. Another way they use the rod, somebody said, to quicken the pace of the sheep. And you and I are spiritually are kind of lazy. Yeah, we are. We're kind of lazy. We need to be encouraged. We need to be prodded. You know, here the sheep kind of loping along and the shepherd going along behind them, whop them with the rod every once in a while. You know, move on, you know, move on, move on. Quicken their pace, you know, encourage them. Move on here. We might quit if it wasn't for his encouragement. Keep us in line. And then another thing he uses a rod back is to bring back the straying one. That's probably why that cook's on there. You and I are like the straying sheep, aren't we? We keep wandering over here and you catch us and bring us back, you know, wander, catch us. You've seen catching that little lamb by the, get back in here. That's not good for you. Yeah, but it looks good, but it's not good for you. I know what that is. Now you come on here. And he brings us along. Then I think he uses that rod to quicken us and bring us back and number the sheep and to keep back the wolves and so forth. But his rod and staff comfort me. Now watch this. Watch this now. I'm going to hurry. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The believer is not without enemies. He would not be like his Lord if he had no enemies. You say, who are my enemies? Oh, I'll tell you. Just one sentence. Christ said, he that's not with me is against me. So everybody that's against him is against you. Those are your enemies. That's right. I don't care who that applies. He that's not with me is against me. And everybody that's against him are against you. And they're your enemies. But he prepares a feast. Now watch this. This is something I've never seen before and I think is so good. A lot of things I haven't seen before, but this I saw this. It's very beautiful. Thou preparest a table. Thou preparest a table before me. You prefer me and prepared that table before me in the presence of all my enemies and your enemies. Now watch this. And you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Back in these eastern countries, and you'll see this, when our Lord ate with the Pharisee and he said to him, you gave me no kiss, you didn't anoint my head, you didn't wash my feet, and so forth. When they prepared a feast and invited a special guest, they met him at the door and anointed his head with precious ointment. That's right. Precious ointment. They prepared the feast and then they'd give him a cup. And he'd hold the cup, and the host would pour and pour and pour until it came all the way to the top and ran over. And that was saying to that special guest, while you're in this home, your every need will be met. You'll want for nothing. I run your cup over. You're so welcome. You're such a part of this household that I run your cup over, indicating to you every need will be met. And that's what he's saying here. He's prepared for me a table, his flesh and his blood. The table of the Lord. He's right in the presence of that arch enemy, Satan and all the universe, all his enemies. He prepared a table for me and met me at the door and anointed my head. And gave me a kiss. And then he handed me the cup. And he ran it over. My needs will all be met. All be met. Now watch this. I'll close. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Here comes the prince. That's the king's son. That's the king's son. He's heir to the throne. Here he comes. Who are those two following him? They're always with him. They never leave him. They're with him every hour of the day. Who are those two with him? Oh, those are his guardians. His father has put those men with him as guardians. They take care of him. They protect him. They're always with him. Those two always follow him wherever he goes. My father has made me a prince. I'm on my way to the throne. And he's put two guardians over me. And they meet my every need, his goodness and his mercy. And they follow me everywhere I go. I'm never without them. Waking or sleeping, they're always with me. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. They're with me. And watch this. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? I believe he is. He's our shepherd. He's our shepherd. Let's just put it that way. He's our shepherd.